Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Eason here with Alex King and our special guest, Dr. Paulette Sherman. Today is Wednesday, September the 11th, 2019. It is 4 p.m. in New York. That's 1 p.m. Los Angeles time. And that would make it, I believe, 9 p.m. in London and 5 a.m. in Tokyo and 6 a.m. in Sydney. So there's all the time zones we do. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And I'm happy, first of all, that Alex is joining me to help fill in for Cindy Chavez, who's off this week. She will be back with us next week. So Neville Day is not done. Neville Day continues to be on Wednesday. It's just not this particular week. And, of course, the law of attraction was in perfect form this week because just as I was trying to figure out what to do in place of having Cindy, Dr. Sherman gave me a call. And Paulette says, hey, you know, the book came out. Now, this is a book that she's been working on for some time and had kind of been waiting because she was waiting for Facebook to do their part. And Paulette, they finally did their part. What took them so long? I mean, come on.
I don't know. It was the worst time for me, but then it came out.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you've been waiting like, what, 6 months, 7 months? I mean, it's been a while.
Well, I think originally it was supposed to come out a long time ago, and then maybe with all their troubles, they kind of repositioned it. So, but no one knew exactly when. Yeah.
Well, finally, they finally have released their Facebook dating service, and your book, not surprisingly, is called
Facebook Dating from First Date to Soulmate.
There you go. So perfectly timed, and the only thing that was not perfectly timed was the patience you had to show. But thank you for showing your patience. There are millions of Facebook daters who are very grateful that you were patient.
Thank you, Walt.
But, hey, it's great to have you back. Last time we had you on was last time you thought that the book was going to be able to be released because you thought the service was coming out. And we hadn't talked since, but I hope things have been going well. I hope you've been able to attract stuff you've been liking to attract into your life lately.
Thank you. In general, yes, I've had a few hard times most recently, like my mother passing away. That's why I said it was bad timing.
But
other than that, things are very good, so... Yes.
Well, you and I had that in common. My mom passed about a month and a half ago. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's very hard.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is my mom's in a better place. And
yes.
I'm happy for her in that sense. So
I believe that too. I definitely believe that too. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, our thoughts are with you on that as well. But
thank you.
Let's not spend too much time on that because Facebook dating is a big deal. I mean, Facebook is the second largest website on the planet. It is the largest social media platform on the planet. There are literally billions of people who use it. So when Facebook releases a dating product, this is not a small deal. This is a really big deal.
Yeah,
and of course,
it seems
it's right like it's me. Well, it's right in your bailiwick because, I mean, you're all about helping people with relationships. You're a doctor of psychology, for goodness sake. I mean, yeah. What else could it possibly be except a big deal for you?
Relationships, and I guess since 2007, a lot with daters and helping them find their mates. So even though many of them don't like online dating, often it's the best option. As we can
That's what I've been saying.
Yeah. So I think this is a better option of those options. So, and there are reasons for that. So I think it is exciting because, you know, it's going to be free too. So what do you really have to lose?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a bunch of dating websites out there that charge a fee that are cringing right now because they know what the competition looks like.
They mad.
Right, and also I think, you know, all of us are, I was just going to say, I think all of us are pretty familiar, maybe not every single person, but most everybody with Facebook anyway. So in that sense, you know, it's not going to be anything that's too scary for them.
Yep.
But what are some of the things we need to know about? Because, I mean, the way Facebook is going to implement this is going to be different from the way others do it. So what should we know about it?
So there are a lot of things to know about Facebook. Sorry for the beeping. I'm not sure what that is. So I'm going to go in another room.
Okay.
I'm going to see if I can turn it off. I apologize. Wow.
That's all right.
Probably something my son did. Aye, aye. Sorry, it says buzzer. I don't know. Oh, I apologize. There you go. Okay.
She does relationships, folks. She doesn't do technology.
Yeah. My son, of course, did this when he's not here. So that was
of course, yeah.
Okay, he likes gadgets. Anyways. So what are the advantages of Facebook? There are so, so many, but some of them, as we mentioned, that it's free. People, there's no barrier. People are familiar with it. They're used to associating it with family and friends and continuity. And even though, yes, there's been some trust issues, they're used to getting on there for a frequent amount of time and entrusting their information to it already. So in that way, it's not exactly such a huge barrier. Also, Facebook did something I think is really smart, is that they surveyed a lot of people and asked them, what don't you like about online dating apps right now? And what are your problems and what would you like to see? And in doing so, they really designed from the get-go with the audience in mind, which as a dating coach, you're thrilled about because you're hearing complaints day in and day out about these things, right? There's nothing you could do about it. It's just part and parcel of the products that are out there. So for example, you know, they, I can get into detail, but they've discussed privacy and like things that they need for privacy. And I can go into each one if you want a little more, and safety and also dating with consideration, because people will always be complaining like, oh, it's just a hookup site. They just look at my pictures. They don't even know who I am. And so one example is that they make you scroll down and, you know, actually write a bio and things. And so you're looking at the whole person from the very beginning, things like this. So I feel like that is really, really helpful in terms of setting the tone from the beginning, in terms of the community context and some of the things that they've done like that. And, you know, there are plenty of so many other things as well. Like, you know, they, some people have crushes on people that they know and they don't know if they have the same feelings back. And obviously in a regular dating app, you can't do anything with this, but they've designed it so that you can have a secret crush list and name 9 people. And the cool
thing
is,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And like, you know, you could say that you like someone, but then you're worried about getting rejected in real life. But in this case, they have to put you on their secret crush list. And if they don't have one, or they're not on Facebook dating, or they didn't put you or something like that, they will never know that you did it. So that's like another little thing. So it's like a lot of attention to detail and to the audience, for whatever reason, I think is going to be really helpful. There's friends of friends, which, you know, old school dating meets modern tech in a sense, because, you know, we used to introduce through friends and feel a lot more organic and comfortable that way. And now you can do that, but you can opt in to do that. You don't have to. And also meeting live at events, right? People are always like, oh, it's so much better. I feel so much comfortable in a regular setting. Well, now you can do that too. And you can kind of see who's single there if you opt into that feature. And, you know, groups, things you're already interested in, shared interests, causes, things that you're passionate about. So you're going deeper and deeper into levels of not only of, you know, connection and more meaningful interaction. Which I think, you know, as a dating coach, who doesn't want that? Because if you know that as a soulmate, right, or something that's long-term, it's not going to really be long-lived if it's just based on surface and attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go on. There's plenty of other features. I think I have 35 advantages of Facebook in my book.
Wow.
Off the top of my head, yeah. But but I just did a video with 12. So, I mean, if you need me to say more, I can say more. But I just, I'm letting you know that they actually took the data and then built it from the inside out, which is what I talk about with the law of attraction in terms of what people need and want, you know, and I'm sure there could be kinks or things that we, problems that would remain to be seen, but I think it's a better start in a sense, because I know like even with publishing, your publisher will ask you like, look at all the competition in your area and then see what you're going to do differently. How do you add to that? How do you change the conversation in order for your book to be needed, right? So it's the same thing here. I think they looked at what they had and then how they could make it better. Plus, they have so much data on everybody, which could be better or worse, obviously. But in this case, right, you're on there anyway, so at least they could match you up with their secret sauce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea.
The one thing, I mean, I'm happily married, so this is not something I have to pursue directly, but if I was going to pursue this, the first thought that comes to my mind is it's a free service. There's an actual advantage to having people pay for a service like this because it helps weed people out who aren't serious, who aren't really looking for the right person. I'm wondering what you think about that.
I do think that people say that a lot, and that's why in old school, I don't even know, there's so many apps now, but people used to always tell me, oh, Match, you know, because that's a little more expensive, or even the League. I don't know. It depends on who you are. It could be more expensive. And people do think that. And sometimes that is true for anything. Like if you pay, you care more and you're more serious about it. I don't think that's always true. And I think also, you know, people, well, eHarmony is paid, but for example, people have to go through so many hoops a lot of times on that dating service that they get tired. Only certain people like it, right? Because they're like, it's too much work. And the thing is here, I mean, a lot of things are optional, but there is a good amount of work that you can do on, if you want to, on the Facebook dating site. And so you can kind of also tell that way, probably, who fills out the entire bio, who does the conversation starters, right? So there's other ways to tell who's serious. And then eventually, depending on whether people opt into like unfolding their profiles, you can also see a lot more about them that way. So you can see, are they serious minded? What kind of causes do they have? What kind of things do they comment on? What kind of friends do they have? Right. You can tell a lot about that and their family. So I think you have just more information, and research shows that even though people don't like online dating that much, a lot of times marriages last longer and are faster to happen because you have more information up front.
Mm-hmm.
And here you'll have a lot more. So
when I mentioned to Alex yesterday that you were coming on the show and what the topic was, she clapped her hands together and says, "Ooh, I want to come." I just signed up for it today, she says. So, Alex.
No, I signed up a week ago. A week ago.
Yes.
She, Alex does not love. She does not like the grass to grow under her feet. She moves.
I sure don't. I don't. Alex, I'm not playing.
Alex, have you found love yet, or what?
Not yet. The thing is they rolled out the profile, you know, so you can fill out everything, and then everything's on pause until everybody else figures it out. So it's like, we're waiting for people in your area to, you know, do their due diligence. So it's like, I'm still in a holding pattern at this point, but we'll see. I haven't had luck on any of the other apps that I'm on. So fingers crossed for Facebook.
What Facebook was asking you, what did you think about it? Was it anything different from what you were seeing before? Was there anything that caught your attention?
I like that the privacy of it, because it is on Facebook. I had questions like, okay, are just like when you change your relationship status on Facebook, automatically it tells all your friends, oh, she's in a relationship with so-and-so. However, I noticed recently they started, I don't know if there's like a shame to it or whatever, but when you break up with that person, it doesn't announce it on Facebook that you're now single like it used to. It used to be, Alex just changed her status to single. Let's all talk about it.
I think that's horrible.
That is horrible, but they stopped doing that. They stopped doing
thank
that.
God.
So I like the privacy part of it. So it's like having a second Facebook, because it's a separate entity. Like if you have a certain picture for your dating profile, it's not the same picture that you have for your Facebook profile, and your bio is different, and you have to go in, and it does have a lot of similarities to like Bumble and Hinge and stuff like that, where you have to answer set questions that are set up about like what type of person you are and stuff like that. But other than that, that's it so far. I mean, I don't know what else they're gonna add, but I like it.
I mean, yeah, looking into my crystal ball with you. Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, you go first. Well, go ahead. I'll say it after. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was just going to say, looking at your crystal ball for a second, which is kind of hard to do, but what do you think is going to happen? Is this actually going to work out better? I mean, you said, Alex, how the other apps hadn't really been successful for you. You met a few people, I know, but nothing had turned into what you were hoping for. Do you have reason to believe in your own heart that this is going to be different?
I do, because I feel like with, Paulette was saying, with the crush list and the friends of friends, there's a better vetting process. So there's less chance of getting catfished, unless, you know, they have fake profiles, which they do. So, but yeah, I like that it's already set up based on who's already on Facebook. And especially with the friends of friends, you can go, hey, cuz, do you know this such and such a person? What's he like? Like, let me know what's going on. I need the tea.
Absolutely. And I feel like with the privacy feature and with the trust, now you can, there's a place that you can report it to. I don't know how that is in other apps, but I feel like they're definitely going to have clear rules of conduct with everything they've been through. Mm-hmm. And they even might have trustworthy scores for each person and things like this.
Oh, and you so can, like Uber ratings?
Exactly. And you also, and there's a location service like Uber. So if you go, Alex, on a first date with someone, you want to let your friends or family know where you are, that's really safe.
And, wow.
Yeah. And also you can block people right away, like as soon as you don't want them to, you know, contact you again. So I feel like they definitely thought that through And they don't want you to be harassed. They don't want you to get any of those inappropriate nudie pictures because it's just text only.
Oh, thank the Jesus.
Exactly. So I feel like what I was going to say to you before when Walt was going to say something is like, I don't know how you feel, but people want to be listened to. And so I feel like even though they might be mad about the, you know, data that's come out and all that, which is scary, but I feel like the fact that they've really taken their time to see what works and doesn't work and then are willing to tweak things in different countries because now it's in 20 countries. You know, it's in their best interest, even marketing wise, but to really do that. And they have the staff and everything too, and data science team. So I think they'll begin to discover patterns about what works, what kind of relationships work, all that kind of stuff, which will be interesting as an expert in the field to see what they come up with. So.
You touched on something there too. It's certainly something we should actually spend a little time on, which is that Facebook is collecting all this data, and now they're collecting it in regard to a very intimate side of your life, which means that they are setting up to be able to show you all kinds of advertising along that line.
Mm.
You know, what do you think about that side of it? That could get a little bit tricky, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be more careful. I will tell you that I don't use a lot of those because I don't know how, those Facebook ads. And then when this came out unexpectedly and I had so many personal things going on, I was like, I did a quick video and I was like, other than this so far, and I was like, let me try to do a Facebook ad. And, you know, I should know more about it. But all of a sudden they were giving me so much trouble to do a Facebook ad. I had to pick a gender that wasn't right. This and that. So I'm wondering, like, if it's going to be as easy to advertise anymore, if that was just me. But they probably have a lot more regulations and things to follow now, or maybe more careful. So I don't know. I don't know what that's going to honestly look like. That's not my specialty area about the advertising with the dating and all that. I assume that they're probably going to want to make money in some way and probably will find a way to do that. Yeah. And I do think that, you know, people are scared because it is a more intimate level of their life. What if weird things get out or conversations, right? But I also think they're under more scrutiny than ever before, so they would be wise if they want this to succeed, since that's their biggest obstacle, I would think, to really be careful about that from the ground up. So we'll have to, I mean, time will tell. I'm not a psychic.
That's true.
But, you know, I would say that also keep in mind that you're, you know, yes, you're going to be conversing and saying kind of silly things or whatever, but then you're going to be offline. So it's not forever.
Right.
That you're going to be messaging, and the idea is to get it offline and take it organically into your life.
Right.
So there's that.
I would think also it's good to follow the rule of thumb. Don't publish anything, even in Facebook dating, that you wouldn't want to get out.
Right.
Because anything that we share, and this is just a general rule of thumb with anything in social media, anything that we share doesn't go away. They keep the data.
The internet is forever.
I mean, the internet is forever. So you want to use the same level of caution that you use in posting anything else. I mean, if you don't want the world to know about X, don't talk about X. Just don't do it, you know, because it's going to find its way out there one way or another. And and I think that's probably going to be the big thing. Yes, you're right, Paula. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Facebook to do this right, to really, you know, protect this investment they made. But the same thing I think is true for users. Users have to kind of take some responsibility for how they use these social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But, you know, it's funny because I don't even consider myself a big tech person because I never really did that growing up, had like a phone hour and a TV hour. So I am on Facebook like everyone else. But, you know, people are making such a big fuss in the media. Nobody's happy about the Facebook dating, it seems. Most of the articles I read, because, you know, again, the ethics of the data breach, and they're suggesting don't do it. But on the other hand, which I get, but on the other hand, I'm like, everybody's doing it all the time. They know this intellectually, yet it becomes such a habit, or they enjoy it so much that they're just constantly putting whatever out there without thinking about it. So I feel like you know something intellectually and then create a habit based on emotions or impulse. And so I don't know that this is going to be much different, but I think it's very good advice to follow if you can remember it.
Yeah.
So plus, what we have to keep in mind, too, the media's job is to stir up controversy. So they're not going to give a glowing review. They're going to tell you everything that's wrong with it. And that's useful. I mean, that plays a useful role. But there is a certain bias there.
Yeah, because I don't think they want to hear me and all my, like, happy, you know, news about Facebook and all the advantages. But there are two sides to every coin, really. And I do think that there are, just like there are dangers in anything, especially love, you know, in life. But, you know, there are a lot of advantages, I think, as well.
Alex, you and I, when you first came on board, Alex has been doing the show with me now since what, October?
Last October. Yep. My one year anniversary is coming up.
Coming up, that's right, yeah. But one of the earliest shows we did, and we did this with Carlos when he was doing it, Carlos Balsiqueta was doing the show for a bit. We talked about online dating and the pitfalls and the difficulties you run into and where it works and where it doesn't work and so forth. Can you kind of cast back, Alex, to what we talked about then and now look at what's happening with Facebook dating and say, do you see anything that's changing of that original conversation that we had? And maybe I'll need to cue you.
Yeah, it's been a year.
Here's a couple of ideas. Like one thing we talked about was when you're doing dating online and you're trying to kind of go through profiles and get a sense of who somebody is, it's really hard to know who they are until you actually talk to them. And there's not a good way to do that with online dating. Yet it's like it's the precursor to actually getting to know somebody.
Right.
Do you think dating is going to make that any better? Is there going to be any difference there?
I don't think so, only because, like I said before, the dating profile is separate from your actual Facebook profile. I don't even know if there's a way until you've spoken to the person that you can, you know, I'm sure you can just look them up on Facebook and look at their profile. But if their profile's private, like, you're not going to get that much information. So it's the
same. It's
the same thing as if you were talking on a regular app and you just got their name and you looked for it on Facebook. So what you see on their dating profile is what you're going to get until you speak to them. So
because I'm wondering if they're also going to tie Messenger in. Because Messenger, you can do a call. You can actually talk to somebody through Messenger. And if they tie Messenger into the dating app, now you got a way to do it directly.
A lot of apps have started doing that. It's a safety feature. So now you can talk to people and you can video chat people without giving out your number.
Right.
So that's come a long way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Walt, I was just going to add to that. You know, it's as private or as open as you want to make it. You know, in response to the Messenger thing, I'm not sure about that yet, although I wouldn't be surprised. But for example, they just added Instagram stories and Instagram, whatever, pictures. So it's a little more 3D, for example, there, right? You don't have to do that, but you can do that. You can also, like I mentioned before, eventually agree to unlock your mutual Facebook profile. So maybe you don't know that before you talk or whatever, but soon after, if both, you know, if people think it's useful, and a lot of people might think it's useful, right? Then you can really see the person in much more of a context, a human context before you meet them or even after you meet them or whatever. And so, you know, their status, they're not hiding anything, you know what I mean, in that way from you. And I think that's really a relief to a lot of daters because safety is a huge issue and feeling, you know, and feeling like it's not authentic or it's really strange to be online when it's something so personal. So it gives you a much better perspective.
By the way, we get occasional live streamers. We have one regular Jeffrey who's on.
I was going to say it's Jeffrey, isn't it?
Yeah. We have others who join us too, but Jeffrey is the most consistent one. And we've done something amazing. We've actually gotten him to not want to post much because he's listening so much. It's more telling to what we're talking about. Usually it's like a stuff coming out of him and he's just sitting there.
Come on.
He did post something. He says, thank you for the discussion. Is there an LOA component?
Is there? Ooh. Oh, LOA protection. Well, you know what, Jeffrey? I don't know. My first book was called Dating from the Inside Out, How to Use the Law of Attraction in Matters of the Heart, which is one reason I probably hooked up with Walt over here, right? So I'm very into the Law of Attraction. So everything I write, even if it's not necessarily intentional, I think I come from that perspective to some extent. So yes, one thing I also like things to be deeper. So not to say that Facebook dating is deeper than other dating apps, which is one reason I was attracted to it, but also their tagline is consideration over impulse and developing meaningful relationships. So I did kind of approach this book that I wrote about Facebook dating from the inside out, and I used the tact of mindfulness and helping daters use mindfulness in order to date more successfully. And by that token, even though it's a different tool than the law of attraction, it helps people when they get into situations of upset through like dating anxiety, setting boundaries, breakups, you know, all these online dating traps that happen. I write about all of that stuff that people have a hard time with, breakups, rejection. By teaching them the simple tool of mindfulness, it helps them get back to a centered, authentic place where they're more in a state of love than fear, which is really the same as the law of attraction in many ways, and choosing their thoughts, you know, instead of their thoughts, choosing them based on fear. And I think that really helps you attract what you want consciously. So that was my long-winded answer. But yes, that is a big, that is a big component in the book in terms of the consideration over impulses, just teaching the simple tool of mindfulness. And I have 20 mindfulness exercises addressing all kinds of dating issues that I see happen with my daters, and also helping them traverse like the different dating stages. Like I said, from messaging to, you know, eventually moving in together to engagement, all of that, marriage, you know, developing a healthy relationship and then developing a soulmate relationship and all the things that tips that, those things entail along the way.
Well, I don't want to push you to get into all 20 of those items on the list, but can you just talk a little bit more deeply about what you mean by mindfulness? What exactly is that in this context?
Sure. So in this context, you mean of the law of attraction context or in the context of Facebook dating? Or
and the Facebook dating.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
both of them again, together, really. Yeah.
Yes. So again, mindful dating. So one thing I'll say just as a little aside is that you probably know that when Facebook started, they had like that hot or not thing, sororities and, you know, fraternities.
Yeah.
Yep. It was very surface and based on like very juvenile, right? And so now I feel like they've made a lot of mistakes and hopefully, I'm not a psychic, but they've matured, at least in terms of the development of this app from the ground up. And their context supposedly is meaningful relationships and consideration over impulse. So that's where mindfulness comes in, because mindfulness is a very simple tool that helps you to kind of look at your thoughts as they arise, look at your emotions, and come back to the present moment. And so I say like looking at the facts instead of creating stories. Because in my experience as a therapist and a dating coach, we rarely create good stories. I mean, if you're an expert in the law of attraction like you guys, then you're probably creating visions and good stories. But most of the people I have, especially in dating, go into a state of fear, right? About what they're not good at, what, you know, whether they'll be rejected, their past baggage, you know, fear about the other person. So they're all into negative thoughts and stories, and that grips them. And then they're very reactive to the ups and downs of dating. But what happens is when you become mindful in the present, when you come back to the breath, when you can look at your thoughts and release them, when you can get into a state of non-judgment and emotional regulation and get into a state of peace, right? That's what happens when you're in the law of attraction. Then you become a magnet for who you really are, and not for all these stories or what you fear. And so that's in a nutshell what it is. But of course, like with each issue, you do a different mindfulness exercise based on what might be coming up. And you also try to learn from what's coming up. So that, so you're growing all along the way, which is the part that you can control, is like who you're being, and you become a magnet for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And actually, I guess growth is what happens in all areas of our life if we're truly becoming conscious creators. Or even if we're not, we're still faced with it. We just might not be choosing growth, but we're faced with it at all times.
Exactly, but we can ignore it, believe me. We don't want to.
No, we're very good at that, yes.
Or just repeat the same thing over and over.
Jeffrey actually posted something else along the lines of what I commented on earlier, how I said that he hadn't shared a whole lot, and it kind of ties into what we're talking about here. He says, I just helped someone write a book about this topic, so I don't have much more input. All about what you've been saying. I said it a week ago.
Now I have a question for Jeffrey. Did he write a book about Facebook dating and mindfulness or law of attraction or what?
Oh, good question. We'll see what, there's like a 30-second delay, so we'll see what Jeffrey says in reply to that. When he writes something, I'll share it with you.
Thank you.
But mindfulness is important, and it, I was curious to see how you were going to define it, and I like the way you did define it, the way you described it, sort of anecdotally there. Cause when I'm thinking back to when I was going through my, trials and tribulations as a single person, which I was in for about a 20-year period, and I mean, you talk about the tendency to focus on what you don't want. That's my way of saying what you were saying. Boy, was I good at that. I had actually gotten myself to the point, without realizing it, where I believed that every single woman that I met, as soon as I met her, before I even had a chance to talk to her, I had already decided subconsciously that it wasn't going to work.
That's very, very common, believe it or not. It's, you know, you sound very talented, but you'd be surprised at the intuition you have with that, you know? it's not going to work either because of all the women or because sometimes people, it's even worse. It's because of them. So no matter who they meet, no matter how great they are, it's because of them that they just can't move forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I didn't even know which one it was. I just knew that deep down, I believed it wasn't going to work. And it wasn't until actually I had met Louise and we'd been married for a while that I finally realized that's what I've been doing myself. I mean, it was so deeply embedded, I didn't even know it was there. And the reason I got out of it is because I quit. I think I told you that story. I actually quit dating. I quit relationships. And when I quit, I met Louise a month later.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that part of the law of attraction too, that whole releasing, right?
Yeah, letting it go. Yeah.
Not that I want to make clear that I'm not suggesting that all my dating coaching clients or singles in general just quit, because I just read that, you know, usually after 1 month people quit online dating. That's like a common thing. And that's why they have that. I didn't mention the pause button on Facebook, Facebook dating app. It's because people need a break, right? And then they come back and their profile's still there. But I do think that in your case, like in terms of energetically, once you release all that fears and you're just going about your life and you're in a happy place, not thinking about it, then good things can come in. But I guess my thing, the reason I wrote the book in this vein with mindfulness is that it just takes 5 or 10 minutes. And then once you release a lot of that, I was going to say crap, but, you know, negativity, that, you know, and you're present again, then you can create a new story, you can move forward in a different way, even with whatever's going on with other people, because you realize that's not your stuff. So it's a good thing to learn.
Well, Alex, I've been posting posing the questions to Paulette here, but I want to make a little room here because this is all you're a part of the show too. So what do you want to ask?
Let's see. What do I have? What do I have?
Maybe I just sucked all the questions out of you.
No. Okay, so one of my questions is the friends of friends. Now, is this going to be as annoying as the friend suggestions because, we have 4 friends in common, so you might want to be friends with my friend? Is it going to be like that, or is it going to be literally like, okay, this is one of your best friends. You comment on their page all the time, so they might know something about this person. You might want to contact them.
Yeah, I don't know what that is exactly going to look like, to be honest with you, or, you know, if it'll be more annoying to people or not. But I think the idea of it, right, and often the idea of something and then the way that it hits people is individual and the way, you know, is operationalized. But I think the idea of it is that, you know, people feel like, oh, my God, a stranger. And what do I say to a stranger? I don't want to tell them anything. And then they don't come across as their authentic self. Whereas at least old school dating, it was really nice when you met somebody who knew someone, because immediately you're like, oh, they know that person. They must be normal, right? Or they work with that person. They work with that person. Or even like they have interactive features, and this is a little different. But you can click on someone who went to your college. So, okay, it doesn't mean they're normal, but they went to your college. So that's something you can talk about in common. And I think we all like that. You know, shared interest is one of the, I think, second most things that attract somebody online. Mm-hmm. The first one is the photos, and then it's shared interest. But also just, you know, in terms of proximity and making people feel safer. So I think in that way, that idea of friends, in theory, sounds really good, right? Because we know people in common. We have things to talk about. We can relax. We can be more ourselves. And this person has some context. You know, how it's going to be. And, you know, some people, I've got to tell you, human nature could go either way. Again, depending on whether you have a positive or negative mindset. Because if you're negative, you could be like, oh, my God, I didn't want anyone to know I'm dating. And now everyone's going to know. So, but you see, the good thing about Facebook is you don't have to choose friends of friends. You can choose strangers and or friends of friends, right? And then you can unlock more and more. So you're like your secret crush list or whatever. So that's totally up to you. So you can't really complain if you choose it. That's the rule.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. You choose it.
Well, that's the nature of the law of attraction. You put it out there, it's going to come back one way or another.
And how the you river put it can't out there be again, right? It's not even the facts. It's the energy behind.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, and once that energy's out there, it just keeps going. It's the energizer bunny of the universe is what it is.
Wow, I like that.
Going and going. Yeah.
Now, what's the algorithm for the vetting process, like as far as...
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. Cause,
can you
like,
tell me what you mean by that? What do you mean?
Is there less of a chance of getting catfish?
That's what you mean by vetting. You mean like in terms of not so much safety, but like who you're getting out there. Well, I wrote a little bit about what I think, some research, I'd have to find it, but about in my book about fake profiles, and sometimes they have, it would have been good if I could find it right now. But anyway, I don't want to stop and search through my book. But
oh, you can ask me anything about fake profiles. I'm seven seasons deep on Catfish.
Okay, so maybe I will. But I was going to say that a lot of times they have a lot of friends or not a lot of
yep.
friends, right, is
yep.
one sign. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing is that maybe they won't unlock their Facebook profile, but you could always ask. So you want to try to get more context on that person and also mm-hmm. be able to maybe Google them right before you meet in person. So I talk about the like five levels of Facebook contact, which is a little different, but it's one way to kind of get more context on somebody, right? And mm-hmm. that's, you know, before you actually meet up in person. Plus there's also right. all these other Facebook safety features that I already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So, so in terms of like, you know, people lying to you, I guess that can happen. But like I said, they're going to have a trustworthy score. I feel like Facebook has so much information on everybody, but that they're going to be much better than other apps in learning that kind of stuff, right? Because they have your other information anyway. So they'll probably have some over time a way to detect that. Plus once somebody reports it, they'll be flagged and they'll be off the site, like, you know, probably the first time. So
nice.
One of the things I think I found it, is I said, you can stay on the Facebook interface, right, in the Facebook dating app first in a very controlled setting. This mm-hmm. is totally up to you, but you can, after you've exchanged some messages, you might unlock your events and groups so you can learn a little bit more in a safe way about each other. This is totally optional. You can unlock your mutual Facebook profiles to learn more about each other either before or after you talk, right? Some people won't want to do that, but some people really will be curious to see them in a bigger context. And then you could also speak on the phone or text each other and then meet offline. So that's like an example of something that you really can't do on a dating app, right?
That's
you might
true.
Have no idea. Yeah.
Because either you get your whole profile or you get nothing at all. So this with these features, you can unlock certain parts of your profile?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, it has to
cool.
be mutual. You could unlock yours and then mm-hmm. maybe you're mad because they don't unlock theirs. But, I mean, certainly, like, if you say to somebody, hey, would you mind doing this? You know, you just have to be okay hearing a no, I guess, right? But
right, right.
that means something, too, because, you know, you don't want to feel like they're hiding something.
True.
It should be a process of getting to know each other. And everybody does, you know, some people are self-protective for a certain amount of time. But on average, right, after like a certain number of exchanges, people do like to meet up. They say 40% of people want to meet up right away. I don't find that to always be the case, especially with women, but yeah.
Interesting point, too. By the way, Jeffrey answered the question that you posed,
okay.
Paulette. He says that the book is geared toward phone apps. We discuss more queer and polyamorous utilization. Also, the mainstreaming of open relationships and moving away from heteronormativity.
Mm.
Okay, that sounds very interesting and like a good book. But I was curious because there were a few books written about Facebook dating that were precursors to the platform. So they were just about how to use Facebook for dating in general. So it's like totally different. But I think mine is the first one about this app. So I was just curious about that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's good to be first. That's true because you get to be first and that's how you grab the market share. So yeah, that's good. Very good. I had another question.
Yes.
Facebook today is social media today, it's all over the planet. So you're connecting to people all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I don't know, maybe this is just my old school way of thinking of things. If I meet somebody, I want to meet somebody who I can meet locally. Yes, it's nice to connect with somebody in California when I'm in Connecticut, but the long-term relationships, long-distance relationships have a long, bad history. They don't work out really well. So
mm-mm.
What do you think about that aspect where Facebook is concerned? Because Facebook reaches everywhere.
So while Facebook is, your wish is their command, right?
Yeah.
because they have that, I forget the exact amount of mileage, if it was like 300 miles or less, but they have something because of the whole meaningful context that they do want you to correspond with people within your geographical location and close
mm-hmm.
by. So that is another thing that sets them apart.
That's what I was telling you earlier about how my dating isn't set up yet because no one in my area has signed up yet.
Hopefully that will change, right? We want to hear what's happening to you.
It'll change. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Where do you live? No, forget it.
Yeah. No, everybody knows where I live. I live in Cape Cod.
Oh, lucky you. Wow.
Yeah, not in the summer.
Yes, in the summer, I'm a beach girl. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, but you're coming to my beach. You're impeding on my territory.
Yeah, that's
territory.
True. I have the same thing where I live. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, Alex and I got to connect in person for the first time this summer because Louise and I went to the Cape for a week and spent our first day with Alex and had lunch. Aww. And it was great.
It was fantabulous.
Yeah. So we were among the interlopers. We were among interlopers that were actually acceptable to Alex.
Yeah.
Did you wear purple? She liked
Did
purple,
I wear purple?
I mean.
Did I wear? No, I wore red. I was blonde that day.
I met him.
I think I was wearing a shirt like this blue shirt. I can't remember.
Exactly. I think you were wearing that blue shirt.
Yeah. Okay. We actually have a picture posted on the LOA Today page if you want to see Paulette. So.
Yeah, okay, I will. I mean, before I got on this, I saw the two of you together, but I think it was just like a thumbnail for your show.
Right, right.
Yeah. Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, now there's another one that Louise took of us. We were just kind of sitting in lounge chairs in her back behind her house and,
nice.
Her cash, so.
Okay, I'll look after this.
But, when you're living on the Cape, you're dealing with a different kind of population, I think, from
the
rest of the population. So, I mean, you're counting, Alex, on the power of large numbers to fill in that gap, so to speak, I think.
Well, that's the thing. I had posted earlier this summer the trials and tribulations of dating in a resort town because people are on vacation. So it's like, I'm swiping, but do you live here? Are you on vacation? Are you a pilot? Like, what's happening? I need to know these things.
It's like constant summer because they say summer is all about flings, you know, and then September is where people buckle down for the long-term release.
For the winter, yes. Yes. We call, us millennials, we call it cuffing season.
Exactly. But the thing I've been in some articles about that, but I was going to say, Alex, that, you know, in some ways I agree with Walt about it being a numbers game, but in some ways, like, to make you feel better, you just need one really good one. So if you are, if you're a unicorn, if you're unique, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just need to get someone who gets you, and that might take going through a lot of people, but there's got to be someone around there, right? And even if you have to commute a little bit, you know.
See, Walt, even strangers are calling me unicorns.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what
I just
I'm
love
talking
unicorns,
about.
So, you know.
I've been telling people all the time I'm a unicorn.
Okay,
and
there you go.
So, you know, dating me is very rare and it's hard to do. It's
Maybe
not hard to do. I'm an easy
profile.
Person. I do.
Okay, there you go.
By the way, she even promised, you can see the headphones that she has on currently are the ones with her ears, but she's promised she's going to get headphones with a unicorn horn just to reinforce
I'm manifesting it as we speak.
They do have that, by the way. I'm sure my daughter has it. She's like a total fairy unicorn. Yeah, so I'm sure
but
they
does
have
the horn, does the horn glow? Because that's the key.
I'm sure if they don't have that, they should, because I just had a unicorn party for her, and we had glowing horns. They weren't headphones, but yeah.
Well, they also have to be specifically headphones without a microphone in them because otherwise it interferes with my microphone. So yeah, there's a lot of keys.
Well, maybe you'll become an adventuress and you can just invent it yourself.
I have enough on my plate trying to become the next Shonda Rhimes, so I'm a little busy.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I don't
maybe
know
your soulmate is going to find it for you on Amazon and then contact you. So
we'll or maybe my soulmate will work for Amazon and be like, listen, actually, this product just came in. You got exclusive rights. So, yes.
I don't know if you knew it, Paulette, but Alex and I started a new podcast, a fiction podcast series called The Grass is Greener. We released the first episode in July, and then with my mom's passing, which is also my sister's passing, my sister's the director of the show, that kind of Aww. Postponed episode two, but she's been diligently working on writing the scripts for it. And so she's actively involved in the process of creating this new show. That's one of the reasons why she needs somebody else to take on the task of finding the unicorn horn. She really
yes.
has
I need to delegate. I love to delegate. So it's like everybody has a part.
Well, so I don't think it's that hard. Somebody who's good at research could totally find it on Google. Or, you know, so.
Yeah, you're right. I just haven't done it yet. I'm not going to lie. I challenged Five Below to just contact me and tell me that it's there. That's that's what I did.
But I'm being serious that I feel like it's great that both of you, because when you said that about Walt, we were teasing him about wearing purple. I feel like Walt's going to be Walt no matter what, right? Like wherever he is, and I feel like you too. And I feel like that's one thing that I'm hoping will be the vibe on Facebook, right? Because people are always so nervous about what to reveal and who they really are. But I feel like, you know, over time, because you use it so much, you kind of are yourself and are around people who know who you are. So hopefully that will carry over and people will be authentic.
Yeah. Because obviously the more authentic you can be, the more likelihood you're going to have of attracting that ideal person you've always wanted to attract. It's kind of hard to attract the right person when you're not who you really are.
Bro.
No, I agree.
I've been my authentic self my entire life, and I've been on these dating apps for 3 years. 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard out here for a pimp.
See, that's what I love about Alex. I never know what's going to come out of her mouth.
Neither does Alex.
Well, actually, that does kind of tie. Let's go back to the basic topic of the show here, law of attraction, and we'll tie it into Facebook dating.
Okay.
So you're signing up. You've been listening to the show. You're one of our listeners. You've decided, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to sign up for Facebook dating. How would you tie law of attraction to this? How would you become a conscious creator, Paulette, and take advantage of this tremendous tool to help the universe deliver to you what it is you're looking for?
So I'll give you a little from my other book as well, but I think it does in a different way tie in here. You know, to me, law of attraction is aligning your thoughts, feelings, and actions with what you most want to create, not what you don't want. And as I said earlier, you know, we have a lot of baggage, so we'll think, oh my God, and I'm not using you as a particular example, Alex, but what you just said, I hear a lot. It's like, oh, well, why would this be different? Because for 3 years I've been doing this and I've been great. And so look what's out there, you know? And it isn't that there isn't some truth to that. I mean, it's human nature to, you know, look back in order to look forward, right? Or to learn from what happened. But I think we can't recreate the past. So we have to reset what it is our intention is and what we want to attract and believe it's possible and to be that now. Mm-hmm. So just being aware of that and trying to, when it comes up, notice it, there's a mindfulness and like release it. And then reset, because there are a lot of, you know, I don't want to say crazies out there, but people in general who will stand you up, all this online dating behavior that's negative and everything. And you can get very distracted and focus on that and then not, you know what I mean? And then your vibe is lowered because of all of those people. And so it's not an easy task, but then as you practice it, you just feel so much better, right? Because otherwise the only alternative is just to stop dating or to use the pause button all the time, right?
Yeah.
But if you learn to do the inner pause and to realign, that's what you can, you know, and then it's like a lot easier than going up and down all the time or being hard on yourself. So that's what I would say about the law of attraction and Facebook dating.
Yeah, because ultimately the more that you stay true to who you are in that way, so that's going to be true in anything. If you stay true to yourself, you're going to attract better. You're going to attract what it is that you really prefer. Provided, like you said, you got to focus your attention. You got to set up your life, so to speak, so that you're paying attention to what is it you really feel? What is it that you really enjoy doing? What is it that you really like in life? And we have plenty of opportunities to be distracted by that. So it is a challenge.
Yes, and not personalize and not judge and let go of what you can't control. So in a way, like expectations are a little different from just like what you want to, what you're joyful and passionate about and being happy in the moment. But I think that, you know, a lot of people blame themselves when they get rejected or bad things happen, even if it's unconscious. So to just be like, okay, I'm doing my thing. That's all I can control. I'm going to just keep moving forward. And eventually I'll get more and more clear about what I want. Right. And I'll get quicker at seeing what I don't want kind of thing. And that drains your energy less. Cause I feel like the reason I wrote about the mindfulness is that everybody, there's a million articles about like the advantages of Facebook dating and all this tech stuff, and it's fun and it's interesting. But really what drains people a lot of times is their emotions and how their reactions to things. And so once they learn how to regulate their emotions more and be more on purpose and be more positive, then dating just becomes something that you're doing. It's not as draining.
Mm-hmm.
Does dating become a lifestyle?
Oh, I think I told you this once before that I had a funny story where somebody said to me, I think it's one of the classes that I taught, and he said, it was like old school, older gentleman, and he said, I don't understand. It's like I go out with people and I want to get married. I want to meet them, and they don't care about me. They just want to know, where are you taking me? If it's like a cool place.
Dating can be a lifestyle for any female that likes food.
Right, but it's not even like a gold digger thing. It's more like
Yes, right? You're taking me out. It's a free meal. I get to dress up. It Some women are, some people just like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also I enjoy being single because, like, I'll be married the rest of my life, so maybe I just want, like, whatever it is, 10 or 20 years to just have fun and have experiences and figure out what I like and don't like, which I'm not knocking, it's fine, but then it's such a non sequitur for the person who's like,
yes.
Don't you want to know me? Like, who cares if we have a grilled cheese or, like, go, you know what I mean? Somewhere cool. Like, get to know me. It's like we're on totally different pages. So
I think
that's another part of it is knowing what your intention is, your dating intention. And I talk about that in the book, but, and then kind of getting clear if you're at all on the same page. Otherwise you could have a great time together, but you're not going to end up, you know, where you want to go with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey's on a roll again, as he often gets to be. He says, I would add, you have to be vulnerable enough to really let love in, because fear and love can't exist at the same time. So work on yourself and you will attract the person who is their authentic self, he says.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And I do have a section on opening your heart to love and all the things that get in the way of that. And then also noticing where other people have issues and red flags so that you can move on more quickly and not personalize that. Yeah.
Yes, red flags are a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle a red flag? And by the way, this kind of ties into a second question. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a question that doesn't get acknowledged very much. But those of us who have studied law of attraction or worked with it or tried to learn from it and so forth for some period of time come to realize at some point that keeping score of what's going on is actually holding us back. In other words, constantly looking for what is the result? Where's the result? Where's the result? At some point we learn, you know, just live life. Just get yourself into that good feeling place and live life and let the universe deliver stuff to you at the pace that it can deliver it to you based on how much or how little resistance you have in place that you may not even know about.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, so many people want to keep score all the time. And with dating, I would think the tendency is even greater.
Yes.
So how do you handle that?
Well, with mindfulness, you would just notice it, first of all, and say, like, is this helpful for me? Is this coming from a place of love or fear? What is this about? And be curious about it, but not be attached to an outcome or attached to those thoughts or feelings as true or being, you know, who you are, right? Because then you have more flexibility to change that and to choose a different thought or a different feeling about it. I mean, I think a lot of us are susceptible to that. I know personally, I'm not even talking about dating because I'm married with two kids, but yeah, like sometimes I'm very goal setter, right? Cause I'm a coach in Aries and I'll be like, well, I put all this effort in. Why didn't this work out? And like, I get annoyed, you know what I mean? I'm kind of like, well, it always worked out before, you know, and you're right. And then you're going backwards because you're focused on what you don't want in the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. So the point is just to notice that. And then to focus, number one, on what you do want, which will make you feel better already in the moment, right? And also what your successes are is a lot of times what I'll tell my clients is like, you know, there's a lot of things that are working. So can you focus on that too? And that's the same in dating, right? You can, there's all the stuff that you can control and that you're putting out there and the things that are good that are happening and to kind of take as much note of that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And then to try to, like you said, breathe, even if you don't take a break and just say, let me just see what happens. Let me be willing to be surprised, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is when the best stuff happens anyway, right? That's when all the good things happen. I remember once you told me your story of how you and your husband met, and none of it was expected by you. I mean, you didn't plan any of it. It just all kind of happened. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Oh, wait a minute, this is a date. I mean, none of it expected, right? Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that is a lot more romantic. Happened if you,
I mean, if you had been trying to keep score, how could that have worked? It couldn't have.
Right. In fact, it probably wouldn't have worked because I wouldn't have necessarily thought that that was going to, you know, he'd be the person for me and all that. So I completely agree with you. Now, how you manage that on a dating app, again, I think some of it is what I'm saying about mindfulness and law, and what you're saying about law of attraction and letting things go and just enjoying the moment and having fun. I think that's a general message we're telling people that makes a lot of sense. But how do you get surprised on a dating app? I think it can be, you know, I think people think that they have a type and that, you know, they just say no to people right away. And so one thing I say is sort of suspend disbelief a little bit, give people three dates, be willing to be surprised. And we see that a lot, like even on, you know, I use the TV show, the old TV show Sex and the City, right? Where Charlotte thought she had the perfect guy and married him. And then the guy she was like afraid to be seen with ended up being her soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
She had to let go of her judgments and her fear and just try it on. So I think that's a good lesson for people.
Yeah. Yeah, we our preconceptions can get in the way, and the sooner that we get allow them to get out of the way, to let go of them, the sooner we get where we want to go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as Jeffy also added on to his previous comment, he says that you have to be okay with being on your own and loving yourself.
Facts.
Yeah, amazing comment. I really like that. And I do have a section on self-love and self-care because, again, dating app burnout is really very prevalent too. It's exhausting to like put out all this effort and not get results or get negative results. And then you wonder why and then you're down on yourself. So yes, feeling like you want somebody, but you don't need them. And also having a balance, not only with self-love and liking yourself and no matter what and not rejecting yourself in the process, but also doing things you like in your life, having a balance, not spending like every minute tied to the app, right? Because then you won't have anything to share either, you know, or to give. So
I think one thing that I kind of wish that I had done back when I was dating was adopt the attitude, wow, I wonder what's going to happen next. Instead of, oh God, I dread what's going to happen next.
Or I know it's going to be terrible. I don't know exactly what it is.
Right, but it's going to be horrible. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. And having like a positive expectation, but not knowing what it is.
Without necessarily knowing what it's going to be, that's part of the surprise. You know, what's going to happen next? It may not be the man or the woman of my dreams, but something's going to happen. I wonder what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I have the bad. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, you first. Go ahead.
I was going to say I have the bad habit, and it's more recent than always. Of saying, "Oh, this guy seems great. Oh, he's definitely a catfish, and or he's going to ghost me. Like one of the two is going to happen." And I try not to think that way because I know what law of attraction does, but it creeps in there every once in a while. It creeps in there.
Yeah, and I think people are really self-protective because it's like, you know, it hurts when everything's going great and all of a sudden someone just, you know, it's horrible and they just disappear on you. And then you want to say like, oh, why didn't I see that? Maybe if I'm extra careful, I'll see it next time. But then again, with the law of attraction, it's also self-fulfilling prophecy because they may feel that energy, you know? So it is, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but this whole mindfulness allows you in the moment to just let it go and return to a calm state. And then you reset and focus on what is going on. So you're not bringing in as much past baggage. I forget what I was just going to say before Alex said that. It was something she was answering that you said, Walt, that I wanted to make a comment about. Do you remember what it was, Alex?
Because
I got distracted by what you said then.
We were talking about... we were talking about... I know we were talking about red flags, but that was before that.
That's okay. I don't
want to
put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is, Paulette, with this show, everything is a stream of consciousness. So asking us to happen, let's say what happened 5 minutes ago. I mean, we go to write the notes of the show afterward, and we're saying, so what did we talk about?
Very existential. I'm cool with that. It must have not been that important, or I'd probably remember it.
Facts.
That's why I count on Alex. Alex does all the hashtags. I really count on her for that because otherwise I'd be lost. I'd be absolutely lost.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, speaking of mindfulness.
Let's go back
to
basics. Because it'll come to you if we can just kind of get back on topic.
Sure.
I'm sure it'll just pop into your mind.
Actually,
so,
we're out of time.
Back to the basic for a moment. Well, let's take an extra minute because this is worth exploring.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Sometimes you just have to go into overtime. It's a tie score, you know. So, you've kind of bought into this idea that Facebook dating is a good idea, and maybe you're even willing to try to work on yourself a little bit to try to change some of those old behavior patterns, and maybe you're even willing to stop keeping score and kind of let things happen. How long should you have to wait before you meet somebody? That's the question that everybody wants the answer to. How long should you have to wait?
It takes as long as it takes, which is a very unpopular answer. You know,
absolutely.
I believe we attract someone at our level of consciousness. So first of all, if you want to meet your ultimate soulmate, you know, you want to work on yourself. I'm not saying anyone's perfect. We're all works in progress, but the more that you are less reactive and more from a place of love and know who you are and what you want, the clearer you're going to be about attracting that back. And you're also a better match for more people and less reactive and, you know, negative. So that's one thing. But also, yeah, your readiness, right? Because everyone always complains, oh, I'm attracting all these guys that are critical. I'm attracting all these guys that are, you know, juvenile and won't commit. And sometimes that is true because the dating pool, there was a book called Attached. There's a dating pool. Sometimes the people who are left, you know, have attachment issues and things like this. But a lot of times what I find is people don't recognize in themselves that there's some ambivalence, right? They really like being independent or their parents were divorced. And so deep down in terms of their consciousness, there's some conflict. It's like they like people. They have a really great life. They don't want to be alone, but they're not sure they want to get married either. And then they're picking these guys and blaming them as an example. So that's what I write about in my first book, which is called Dating from the Inside Out. It's like, get clear who you are and who you want to be as a date. You know, get clear what obstacles there are and to reverse them. And then you can be a lot more ready to go out and kind of meet that person and attract them quicker. So it's not just doing busy work on the outside. It's working, getting ready on the inside first.
Right. Yeah. Very good stuff. That's a good way to draw this to a conclusion. Before we go, though, you got to remind everybody, what's the name of the book? Where can they find it? And where do they find Dr. Paulette Sherman?
Thanks so much, Walt. Okay, so the book is called Facebook Dating, From First Date to Soulmate. My name is Dr. Paulette Kaufman Sherman. But if you just type in Paulette Sherman, S-H-R-M-A-N, and the name Facebook Dating on Amazon, it should pop up. I finally got them to link it. So Kindle is under $1 for a limited time, like 99 cents. And then the paperback's $12.99. So I would love it if people get the book. And if you want to write me a review, God bless.
Good stuff. Well, Paulette, it's been great reconnecting with you. Let's not make it 6 months next time.
God, you know? I'm there. Just tell me the next time someone cancels.
You just released the book. I'm sure this is the first of many shows you're going to do to help promote it. Once the book's been out there for a bit and you've gotten some feedback, send me a note and we'll bring you back on. You can tell us about what it's been like and how people have been receiving it and what's been happening as they apply it in their lives. How about that?
Oh, that's awesome. I would love that.
All right. I'll be watching for that email. All right.
Thank you so much. Take care, both of you.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. And
my
Alex,
pleasure.
Thank you for sitting in for Cindy. I appreciate your time sitting in. I know that you really wanted to do this one, but thank you.
Sure did.
Thanks, Alex.
You're welcome.
I want to hear your love story once it turns out.
Oh, it's always live. So
okay.
Just tune in.
Okay. Well, best of luck.
That's what happens when you do when you do a podcast, your entire life is out there on the air. That's just the way
for
it is.
For all the world to hear and see.
Absolutely. So with that happy thought in mind, if you're not yet a subscriber, become one, because this is what you're going to hear, right? You don't want to miss any of it. And in the meantime, we'll say thank you for listening. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.